That's all I need to know about you. I'm Anna. That's Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you attack a teenager, a child at all because you have to wait too long for bacon, that is all I need to know about you.
All right. Let's pump the brakes on this because I don't know anything about what you're talking about. First off, how old is this teenager?
17.
Second off, that's a person, number one. And how many 17-year-olds have you met with a mouth on them? So how much bacon are we talking about?
Oh, you're going to defend this?
Where was the bacon? I just want to gather the facts. I'm not defending yet.
There was a customer waiting at a McDonald's, and she had ordered a sandwich, and she had asked for extra bacon on the side.
And they put the bacon on there now, and it's two strips of bacon for $1.50. I mean, it's a pretty good upsell. I'm just saying.
The problem is that it took 8 minutes for the bacon to come out. 8 minutes. So this customer became so enraged that she kept going up and approaching the 17-year-old who was working behind the desk. Mm-hmm. And,
So they were an employee, too, of McDonald's?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the customer punched the poor employee at McDonald's who was only 17 years old. You want to defend that?
No. I mean, what's going on at McDonald's lately anyways? Like, at fast food restaurants in general, I feel like there's a whole lot of confrontation going on. Do people not realize that there is a camera in every restaurant that you are in nowadays?
What has happened that all of a sudden now we take out our anger on people that work at fast food restaurants?
I'm guessing a lot.
Again.
I'm guessing, like, whatever was going on in that woman's day before she got there was not good.
Yeah.
And this is a volcano-type situation.
It's still terrible. It's all I need to know about you. Here is the girl and her mom talking about it.
It's scary. She really could have hurt my daughter. I'm angry. She was getting frustrated because she was waiting so long. I was scared because, like, it happened so quickly.
Well, right. Can you imagine somebody's waiting for bacon and then all of a sudden they just lunge at you out of nowhere? You're like, what are you doing?
Right.
This is some good bacon.
Still sounds like a teenager at the end of it. Like, I was scared. Like, I mean, who gets crazy for bacon? Like, get focused, kid, and get back there and get my bacon.
That's all I need to know about you.
I understand the frustration.
I mean,
can't attack.
You trying to defend this is even all I need to know about you.
Listen, I've met a couple 17-year-olds. Mm. If you just keep calling out the Jeopardy answers, even though you haven't gotten a single one right
the entire
evening, maybe the entire week, but you just keep shouting them out with confidence, one after another, while somebody else is trying to watch the show, that's all I need to know about you.
It's me. I don't even understand the question half the time.
I can't hear the next question because somebody just keeps calling out the answers.
Right. Oh, Double Jeopardy, 700!
I don't need to know your bid. Keep it to yourself.
What is Mean Girls? What?
That
it was 100% me. I don't think I've gotten a single correct answer right this entire tournament.
And then if you get a single answer right, to parade yourself around as if you're now a genius here.
Right.
Okay, I mean, a broken watch is right twice a day.
Anything higher than $800, if you get it right, you get to brag. Can we make that a rule?
I guess so. This week, anyways.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. I will always be fascinated by the royal family. Fascinated.
I mean, I never have been until last night when I started seeing revolving tweets going back and forth.
It's Anna and Raven. Prince Harry and the Duchess Meghan Markle, have they made an announcement on Instagram saying that they're... Well, they said they're distancing themselves from the whole royal family.
But yeah, basically,
they're quitting their royal duties is what they're doing.
They don't want to do that. They want to make their own money so they can't be told what to do by the queen. I mean, a favor done by somebody that comes with a price tag attached to it is never fun, but you're royals.
Right.
Like, you knew this.
So, well, that's the whole thing. They said they're going to split their time between the UK and North America.
What?
But like Raven said, the most interesting part of the announcement was that they, and I quote, says that they're going to move to become financially independent. So I read that. I go, what?
Right.
What do you mean? Right. So it turns out that, like, a lot of the funding that they get is public funding.
Well, of course it is.
I didn't know that.
They're the royals. Did you think that they were secretly out making moves behind the scenes? He doesn't own part of, like, Nokia or something.
No, they have private funding, too. But to me, I was like, taxpayers pay for them to be the king and queen?
Yes.
What?
And to keep that house. The ceilings are 20 feet tall.
Oh.
Imagine the bills, all right? Energy efficiency. I hope they got new windows in there.
But in the most dramatic move, the palace, they issued a statement right back.
I couldn't believe that.
And they said, we understand their desire to take a different approach, but these are complicated issues that will take time to work through. They didn't tell the queen.
Yeah, and the queen's not letting them go.
Right.
Like, this is the other thing. So, I mean, I got to tell you, I know Netflix is already being blamed for ruining Hollywood, but I've got an opinion that maybe that The Crown, the show The Crown, is ruining the royal family.
Oh, you think that's what's happening right now?
Meghan Markle wants out.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Harry somehow got sucked into this, thinking that he was going to be able to make her just a regular princess. And she's like, no, 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 no. We're moving to Canada, bro.
Right.
This is crazy. And the queen is like, oh, no, 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 no. No, you are not.
I keep thinking like, oh, my gosh, England is going to hate Americans even more. They're going to be like, here comes Meghan Markle. She's taking Prince Harry.
But not for nothing. Canada's the one putting them up, all right? if your spouse runs out the door and then moves in with a pal, can't you be upset with that pal, too? Because we're upset with Canada. At least England is. No, I'm not.
The bigger question is when they decide they're going to become financially independent, like, right. They got to go get a J-O-B.
Right.
Where are they going to go work?
I mean, I'm not saying that they're not talented, smart, gifted people, okay?
Right.
But they have an absence of real-world work experience.
What's on that resume?
Yeah. I was like, if Harry had to go out and pay for the meals tomorrow for his family, besides stripping telegrams, what is he automatically qualified for?
Well, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff.
I mean, he was in the military.
He's a military
I think
guy.
He can fly a helicopter. I'm not sure if I'm making that up, but I'm pretty sure he can.
Does he know Excel? Do you know how to use Outlook?
I don't know. Like, I picture him starting, like, a car detailing business around the neighborhood or something like that. He's like, Buffett ride out.
All right.
Appointments at your office or whatever it may be.
You think Meghan Markle goes back to acting? Or what does she start doing?
She can't make out with anybody on screen.
Oh, that's right.
No way.
No.
That's over. So
what's she going
to
do?
And I'm not saying that's obviously, that would be incredibly sexist to say that's the only thing we want her for, but it's a big part of acting or whatever is being involved in relationships and love stories.
So what does she become? What does she do?
I don't know, man.
Sell essential oils on Facebook?
Or if they have a TV show where she could sell essential oils and not make out with anybody, I mean, that would also,
Well, Prince Harry, if you need somebody to put on your references, you can call me because I don't think the Queen's going to call you back.
Never.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not prince.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the work day.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
If you ever need life advice, you could email my 10-year-old daughter, Hayden, hayden@annaandraven.com. She's always happy to give her unfiltered 10-year-old advice. And to be honest, sometimes when it's simplified that way, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it works out really good. I mean, I called the doctor's office 2 weeks ago for an appointment. I won't be going in until February 21st.
Huh.
All right? So if you want to be seen, Hayden would be the way to go.
She's available. Hayden, today's email says, "Hello, Hayden. I feel very awkward asking your opinion on this, but I wasn't really sure what to do and was curious what you thought. I work at a big company, and my cubicle is next to another woman, and she's just not nice to me. She's very abrupt when she speaks. She's made not nice comments about clothing that I've wore, and twice she's made comments that my boyfriend isn't very committed since we haven't gotten engaged yet. I say something to her about this, or do I just let it go because it's a professional environment?" And it's signed Kelsey. What do you think, Hayden?
Well, Kelsey, if I were you, I wouldn't talk to her because you never know what problem she has. Who knows? She could go home and be miserable, and she just wants to take it out on you, not her ex-boyfriend, you.
Well, assuming that she has an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, she definitely has an ex-boyfriend. Who doesn't do this if they don't have an ex-boyfriend?
Fair.
Well, I mean, some people are just not nice. Some people just have attitudes or chips on their shoulders.
I still think it's the ex-boyfriend.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Any other advice? You think she shouldn't say anything because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes?
Avoid her at all cost. Be nice to her, but any other time, avoid her. Maybe a smile and a hello. This is work. You don't have to be friendly if you don't want to. Keep that in mind.
It's pretty harsh.
Well, she's not being nice.
Brings up an interesting point, though. Because, we always tell these kids, and I mean, myself included as a parent, is like, you have to work through your problems.
Right.
Be nice
to everybody, that type of thing. But you don't actually have to work through all your problems.
When
you're an adult, you can just say that you stay over there, I'll stay over here. You be North Korea, I'll be South Korea.
And
look at how well
separate.
That's worked out.
Right. It's interesting to think about it because... you want to get along with everybody. You want to have friends, but maybe it's not in the best interest to bring it up to her because maybe she's just not your friend and she's not going to be your friend.
Maybe she's not a nice person. I think that there's probably some truth to the fact that she's got stuff in her life that she's not happy with. Happiness begins within, right?
Yeah.
Self-love first, and then you can be nice to everybody else out there. But some people you're just not going to like, and the effort's not worth it.
Most likely it's her ex-boyfriend, though. We've made that abundantly clear.
I mean, I think everybody here knows that, don't they?
Yep.
If you need advice, email me, Hayden@annaandraven.com. That's Hayden@annaandraven.com. See you next week.
Kate Hudson was celebrating her son's 16th birthday, and she posted this cute Instagram throwback video and picture of him. And she wrote, "I will savor these next couple years before he flies the nest. Here's the thing. You still have 2 years under this roof. My roof, my rules."
I love that. I mean, again, if they're going to be living there, if you're going to be taking care of everything, of course, it is your rules. I also say, you know what? Good for you, Kate Hudson, giving your son a little bit of motivation to get his stuff together by the time he's 18 so he can be an adult and have his own life.
It's Anna and Raven. She kind of did it like as a joke saying, hey, 18, you got to be out of my house.
Right.
But it got us thinking, like, what is the right age when your kids move out?
You know what we're seeing? Listen, in other countries, other cultures, it's different. 3 generations, 4 generations living in one household. We get it. And of course, there's extreme circumstances. But, I mean, at some point, it used to be kids were told to get out. Like, if you weren't going to college, at some point, you were going to be expected to get out of the house. And now we're seeing people that are staying there.
How old were you when you left for good?
17.
You're 17 years 17 old?
17 years old. Now, I graduated high school at 17. I was out of school early, so I was out and I was working and whatnot. And I had actually, you know, I mean, I was a rough teenager, so I had been out for a little bit before that and then moved back in. My parents always allowed me to go back in whenever I needed to, of course, but I wanted to get out there and do my own thing. I was traveling the country at that point.
Yeah, I left for college, and I never went back. I never went home. Unlike my brother, which is different, because that's what it is. I come from an Italian family.
Right.
So
the son.
My brother went back, and they created a whole wing for him, basically.
They will make an apartment.
Yep, they made him
an
apartment.
It is a thing, the son.
And then his girlfriend moved in with them.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? I couldn't bring my husband home for years.
For years.
Until I knew I was going to marry him. I could not introduce him.
And even then, the first year and a half, they're looking at him sideways.
Right.
They're like, you know what? Let's just make sure.
I'll never forget that day when my mom told me that the girlfriend was moving in, who's now his wife. I was like, what?
Wait a minute.
What?
Right. And they were paying for all of it, I'm sure.
They lived there till they were like definitely in their mid-20s and got married and then went and bought a house.
There's nothing. My kid right now, 22 years old right now. So now he stays at his biological father's house. He stays at his dad's house. But his room is still left completely intact so he can come back, stay whenever he wants during the week. Sometimes he does for work. His room's bigger than the master bedroom.
Right.
Like, what's happening here?
Oh, 1-800-330-9999. Here's the best question I have. Ready, Raven? Who has the oldest adult child still living at home with them? Can you beat Raven's 22? 1-800-330-9999. How old is your adult child that still lives at home?
Right. Yeah. We've got some interesting conversations going on here, that's for sure.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. This comes up because Kate Hudson, she posted this throwback picture. It was her son's 16th birthday, and she jokingly wrote, 2 more years, and then you're out of here.
Right.
And I was like, does anybody actually move out of the house at 18 anymore?
It used to be the thing. Like, that was your plan. If you weren't going to college, if you weren't going to the military, at some point you were going to have to get your stuff out of the house, get your life together, get a job. Now, obviously, things have changed a little bit, whether it be economics or just, you know, the way that we want the family to stay in one spot. But, you know,
sometimes they just don't go.
They never leave sometimes.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. How old is your adult child that still lives at home?
I do. My son's still living at home, and he's 42
years old.
That's Raven's age. He's a grown man.
So wait. I mean, I need clarification. Did he move out and then move back in? Are you invalid? Like, I need some things. I need some information.
No, he actually, he's never moved out. Always been with us. He moved downstairs to the basement area.
Of course.
Made it his own. He's had a couple girlfriends move in and out, but he's never left. I think he wants that security of a home-cooked meal and not having to really have his own place.
You must do fantastic laundry.
What do you do when the girlfriend's over? Is there a sock on the door? What happens? Do you never, ever, ever enter the basement no matter what anyways?
I only go downstairs when I have to do the laundry, and that's right in the morning, and then I wait until I hear the TV on and the video games going. Or
42
something.
Video games going in the basement. Are you doing his laundry?
He's living the life.
I do his laundry.
Oh.
On occasion, I ask him to fold it. But
on occasion, you ask him to fold it.
I want to come live with you, too.
Thank you for the call. You. Have a great morning. I imagine her making sandwiches every time my friends come over for a Call of Duty, like, long haul, right? We're going to play We're going to play Fortnite the next 5 days.
Mom, make some sandwiches.
That's right, right. The meatloaf.
Jimmy's coming over.
The meatloaf. Now, Mom.
Hannah and Raven, how old is your adult child still living at home?
Oh, he's 16 years old.
I mean, 16 legally, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to allow him to still be there.
Oh, yeah, he's a sophomore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't make him homeless yet at this point. But
we'll give him a couple more years.
But I love your enthusiasm. Thank you for calling.
She's like, get him out. It's enough time.
Right. I can't wait to turn his room into a gym.
A lot of his friends go to boarding school. We wouldn't let him, so.
Oh, I see. Out. Right, right.
I guess I'm out.
Right. He was willing to go to the military to escape the house, but you were like, nope, you're not ready yet.
I'm not ready. Not till college.
Right.
This is the opposite of the call that we just had, but thank you for sharing.
She said, so I'm out. So I didn't win all this kids still living at home.
It's really eye-opening what's going on here.
1-800-330-9999. Can you beat that? Can you beat, 42?
42 is the record right now.
Yeah, oldest adult child still living at home. 1-800-330-9999. 41 is the record right now. 1-800-330-9999. We asked, who has the oldest child that is now an adult,
right, adult
living
child
at home? Yeah. The reason why this came up is because Kate Hudson was celebrating her son's 16th birthday, and she posted like a funny Instagram video and picture of him to wish him a happy birthday and saying, two more years until you're 18 and you're out of here.
Right.
And we're like, does anybody actually move out at 18?
I don't know if she's reminding him that you have rules for the next 2 years while you live here, or, hey, in 2 years, I actually expect you to be an adult and get out. Either way, it brought up that conversation.
It's Anna and Raven. Some kids never leave. They just stay, and then they become adults, and then they just stay.
It's crazy.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven, oldest adult child still living in the house.
25, but now I'm really depressed because you just said 42 and 39.
Right, because you're thinking in your head at 25, it can't last that much longer, but now we know it can actually last forever.
20 more years.
Sad and pathetic.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Adult child still living at home. How old are they?
43.
43 is the new record.
43, but it's my brother-in-law, but I have to say that it's actually a good thing because he's now taking care of his elderly parents when they need him the most.
Well, I feel like by default, if you're still living at home when you're in your 40s, it is on you. You got to help mommy and daddy out at that point.
And a lot of times that's how it happens. A lot of times you're saying to yourself, how are we going to pay for caretakers? And then the decision is made that somebody will move back in. Conveniently, that's the same time your marriage falls apart.
Or some people just never leave, Raven.
Yes.
That's the other situation.
That is the situation with some.
He's never left. He's lived there his whole life.
Yep.
His mom still does his laundry, makes his lunch every day.
I like to picture his feet hanging off of his small twin bed from when he was in middle school.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Oldest adult child still living at home.
I can't be 42, but my brother is 40.
Mm.
I'm from an Italian home as well. In Italy, there's actually a phrase meaning mama's boy, because the boys stay at home until they're married. She does his laundry.
Yep.
He makes his lunch. He makes like 60 grand a year. He's living the life.
Right. Yep. And then he marries his mother. I mean, that's who they marry, because if the woman is not willing to do all those same type of things, like, it ain't going to work out.
Let me rephrase that. You marry somebody exactly like your mother, not your actual mother. There's laws against
that. Yes,
yes. Right. Yeah, I was about to say, that's getting a little creepy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she also has to meet my mother's approval. She oversees it. So good luck with him getting any chick in that house.
Right, seriously.
I mean, who wants to date that? Really?
For real? Yeah.
Who wants to date that type of stuff?
He's handsome, though. That's the thing.
I mean, he better be devilishly handsome. Devilishly handsome.
Is he a player, though? Does he bring girls home?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
He's only had one girlfriend that we've ever met, ever.
Interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Thank you for the call.
He dates, but, I mean, 42. Oof, he'll get there. I guarantee he'll get there.
Yeah. She has no hope in her brother.
Right.
Anna and Raven.
She's been defeated.
Yes, right.
How old is your adult child still living at home?
My brother. 44, still lives at home with my mom.
That's the new record.
It is the new record, 44. before. And does he have a reason for it, or he just never left?
He just never left.
Does he ever feel funny about it, or he's like, hey, this is what I do?
At 44, there's got to be no shame.
Yeah, there is no shame. He just pays for my mother. It's free. Why should he leave?
I asked my parents if my husband and I could move back in with them to save money.
And they said no.
They said no.
Right.
Three ways to spice up your relationship. It's Anna and Raven. Every day this month, we call it January. Little things that you can do, not resolutions, small changes that'll make a difference in 2020. Joining us, it's Dr. Laura Berman. You could hear her here every weeknight on Cover to Dr. Laura Berman. Three ways to spice up your relationship. If anybody knows how to do this, it's you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time of year to kind of do a reset in your relationship as well as the rest of your life. And so, okay, three things. The first I would say is to give each other a 10-second kiss every day, twice a day. And I don't mean like, you know, I just mean like a kiss, a closed mouth kiss. But if you hug your partner and kiss them for 10 seconds, it really is a long time. Most of us just do a quick peck, if that. And you are creating a level of, you know, humor with your kids. They're all like, ew, gross. But it's a beautiful way to connect with each other. The second is to take a vacation, which is very different than a family trip. A vacation alone once a year. Studies show if you do that, even just once a year, even if it's a staycation at a hotel in town for 3 to 4 days.
Whoa.
That does more for your relationship than a weekly date night.
Wow.
And the final thing is to give your partner 5 genuine expressions of appreciation every single day, because most of us don't have that lens on. And if you're looking for things your partner is doing right, or even, you know, how great that shirt brings out the color of their eyes, or thank you for taking out the trash. I know you always do it, but I really appreciate not having to go out in the freezing cold and do it, or whatever else. But a genuine expression of appreciation, 5 of them a day.
Day?
Wow. I was going to say. It's a lot. Like, I mean, here's the thing. All right, Doc.
Are you guys kidding me? Is it a lot to say thank you in a genuine way 5 times in a day to your life partner?
Listen, this the 10-second kiss, all right, is easy, right? You don't have to move.
No,
you're standing in one place, Raven. All right? 3 days in a bed at a hotel locally for your staycation, also pretty
but
doable.
But giving appreciation is too much work.
5 things in one day. I mean, how about 2?
All right, fine. Start with 2 and work your way up.
Right,
my guess is that will be like a quantum leap to your partner if 5 is a lot.
This has been so eye-opening for me. When I walk in the house, when he walks in later on in the evening,
right,
he always says, you didn't kiss me hello yet. And I'm like, all right. And I do exactly that. I give him
peck
the half peck, and I go about making the kids dinner, getting the bath ready.
No.
Right. I'm so
Anna,
bad.
You're bad.
You are bad.
And he is someone. He's telling you what he needs. I do the same thing. I'll be busy doing something when my husband comes home, and I'm just like, hi, from the other room.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned quickly that for him, me dropping what I'm doing for a second and coming and greeting him and letting him know that I'm happy to see him and that I care is like a major act of validation and love for him.
Right. You can't
and
just
so
leave
you
it to
gotta
the dogs.
Do that too. No. Can't leave it to the dogs. They give plenty of kisses, but you have to give the 10-second kiss when you part in the morning and when you come back together in the evening. 10-second kiss.
We haven't been on a vacation alone in 10 years. I need to do that this year.
No.
Yes. Yeah, 10 years. It's 10, almost 11 years.
God, that's crazy.
Maybe more.
And not unusual, unfortunately.
All right. Always great advice. Dr. Laura Berman, if you want to check her out for yourself, you can listen tonight. And if you have a question, you can call her at 855-5-UNCOVER. Jeopardy, greatest of all time, is going on now. James Holzhauer and Ken Jennings tied with 1 win each right now. Brad Rutter, who's the 3rd all-time champion competing, basically looks like a deer in headlights.
I mean, he just... I think he's going to go back to eating after this. He lost so much weight in the time. If you watch his, like, montage, he's going to go back and binge eat. I'm just saying.
Oh, it's Anna and Raven. So how it works is that they play until one of them wins 3 matches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, these guys are all Jeopardy royalty, but they asked Alex Trebek what he thought the most famous part of the show was, and this is what he had to say.
Well, our theme song, of course. The one that was created by Merv, and the one which Merv has admitted that that little Jeopardy think music has earned him close to $80 million.
So I don't know if you know this, Raven, but Merv Griffin made that Jeopardy theme song in 30 seconds as a lullaby for his kid back in 1963.
Yeah.
And it is netted at this point between $90 and $100 million. That was the estimate.
Some of the best jingles ever were made really quick like that. I have to tell you, yesterday, it was the first time that I noticed that they put, like, kind of that back drum beat behind the Think Music Now when they go into at least Final Jeopardy
or
the intro.
They got to make it awesome.
Alicia freaked out. My wife straight freaked out. She was like, what is this? Blasphemy? Like, she was so upset by it.
It's so recognizable.
Right?
It's
right.
So recognizable. Imagine that every time that you hear that Jeopardy Think Music, this music, somebody is making money.
Yeah.
Making a lot of money.
That somebody is me. Real. I mean, that somebody is me if I'm Merv Griffin.
You're a Merv Griffin.
There's nothing to imagine then. I'm just spending it at that point.
He passed away in 2007. Who do you think gets that money now?
His kids.
Yeah?
And I wouldn't put it past one of his kids to have murdered him in his sleep.
That's not
to
nice.
To get that money.
No.
Seriously.
But you want to know the crazy part is, Raven?
It's big money, man.
That's not the most lucrative copyrighted song of all time. Guess what it is?
Blurred Lines, Robin Thicke.
No, certainly not.
You know, Alan Thicke, actually, his dad wrote some of the biggest jingles in television, too.
He did.
You didn't know that. That's where
Robin
his money
Thicke.
Came from.
Right. Yeah. But right. That's not it. That's not the song.
Right.
This is the most lucrative song of all time.
Let me hear it.
Happy birthday to
now, that seems fake.
That's real.
Who was getting a quarter every time somebody was singing that? Because I've never given any money besides the gift that I brought to the birthday.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that this was created by the Hill Sisters a long time ago. And they copyrighted it. And then Warner, the company Warner, bought it for like $15 million. And they were collecting millions on it until about, let's see, it was 2016 that finally somebody sued them and was like, you can't copyright this song anymore. And they lost. So now we could all use it freely whenever we want without getting charged.
I mean, it's just crazy the fact that they even got paid $15 million. I mean, I thought everybody that worked for Warner back in the 20s and the 30s was an indentured servant. I got to be real with you.
No.
Well, congratulations to everybody that got paid in that. But I feel like you owe me some money back. Congratulations, Merv Griffin. No matter who wins the Tournament of Champions on Jeopardy, obviously you're the guy that's going to leave with the biggest payday.
Or your kid.
Right.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday, another couple joins us, lets us know what's happening in their life, and then you're the judge as to who's right. Claire and Tony. Claire, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay. Tony and I have a son, Joey, right? He's 9 years old. Tony was picking him up from school the other day, and he talked to this other dad, and the dad's like, hey, we're taking some boys out dirt biking this weekend, and we wanted to bring Joey. Is that cool?
Awesome.
And he just said, yeah, sounds good.
Well, I mean, he didn't check with you to make sure that was cool. I assume that you're not happy with this.
Are we talking about BMX? Right? Are we talking about motorcycles? What are we talking about?
We're talking about motorcycles.
Yeah! Best friend ever.
Real motorcycles? Like dirt bikes?
Yeah.
9 years old?
Oh, I had one when I was like 8. Like
really?
Yamaha YZ80.
Oh,
and the first two gears were busted, so I had to jump it into third every time. But then you'd hit that power band, and I'd be doing like 60.
Oh, I love hearing about that, unless it's Joey, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Helmets weren't even cool back then.
Tony, why wouldn't you check in with your wife knowing that she was going to be against this?
Thank you.
I didn't think it was a big deal. I grew up riding bikes. Like he just said, that was before helmets. I mean, everybody has to wear a helmet nowadays. Going to be with four other boys. You know, she's got to stop being a helicopter mom.
I mean, this is the most fun experience ever. Do they need a sixth?
Really, right? I know. So you're okay, aren't you?
I mean, I've got some of my best scars are from when I was riding dirt bikes.
Oh, good. Your best scars.
Oh, yeah, I'd show you three on this knee.
Tony, did you give permission for your son to go and not tell your wife because you knew she would say no and it would be an issue?
I didn't even think about it. So the dad was saying they were going, and I know that Joey would love it, and I just said, sure. I didn't think I had to go home and ask my wife for permission.
Anna Zapp, this is America.
Yeah, but he could have just said, oh, hold on, let me text my wife to see if we have anything going on this weekend.
Oh, no. Let me do that before I grant freedom to my youngest son, the namesake, the one that will carry on my legacy.
So, Claire, what would you like us to do?
He should have asked me because there are so many questions that I have. Is the guy going to teach him? Is the dad going to be safe about it and not just let him run around with boys who already know how to go dirt biking? Is he going to wear protective gear? Is the bike going to be the right size for him? All these things, right? And I want to ask these questions. And if the dad is cool, then I'm cool with it. But if he's not, then I'm not. And then I have to be the bad guy. I have to be like, oh, sorry, Joey, you can't go. Because Joey already knows now.
All right, so I guess the bigger question that we have here is, was Tony wrong not to ask you for your thoughts on this before granting your 9-year-old permission to go dirt bike riding with his friends? They may agree with you, Claire. No, he knew you would have a problem with it, so he purposely didn't do it. But they may see Tony's side, too. It's harmless. He did it growing up, and he made a parent decision. He doesn't have to check with you all the time. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah. As long as they agree with me.
We'll see.
Great. Give us a call. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Tony was at school pickup, and one of the other fathers asked him if it was cool if their 9-year-old son Joey went dirt bike racing with them this weekend. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, sounds great. He'll love that. Problem is he never checked with his wife, Claire. And now Claire is out of her mind because she's like, are you kidding me? We're going to send our kid on a dirt bike? You don't know anything about this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, here's the thing about life. You got to grab it by the horns, Anna Zapp, all right? You got to get out there and you got to experience life. At 9, you don't even know what hurt is.
The bigger problem is that he didn't even check with his wife. And that's why she's mad, because she says this is a decision that we should have made together. And he's like, why? He could go. He'll be fine. What do you think? Should he have checked with him first? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, whose side
are
you on?
On her side, he should have at least definitely asked her. Like you said, I'm not Raven. The other said, oh, hey, I got to call my wife, see if we have anything going on that day. Because if it never did this biking at all, she's right. She'd have to find out size of bike, is the father going to be there, which I assume hopefully would. But you can never assume anything. And if he's never done it before, there's all kinds of things to find out about. He should have asked her.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for the call.
Have a good morning. I'll tell you this, all right? You get a lot of instruction, and I would imagine it is the same thing as being strapped into a jet fighter for the first time, Anna Zapp, all right? Mm-hmm. They tell you, here's the brake, here's the clutch, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And then you squeeze that throttle, okay? And it's shaking in between your legs, and you're rocketing down the trail, and you've already forgotten everything they told you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then you crash into a tree.
But I think he should have just asked for permission first, or at least discussed it with
her. I'm just saying this is going to be the best day that he remembers being injured ever.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. School pickup. Tony was asked by one of his son's friend's dad, said, hey, can we take Joey dirt bike racing this weekend? Mm. And Tony's like, yeah, he'll love that. It'd be awesome. Only problem is that he never asked his wife, Claire. Didn't mention it to her until he got home. It's like, yeah, Joey's going to go racing. He's 9.
Yeah.
9.
Well, here's the thing, man. If he misses out on this opportunity to join the biker club at his school, he's never going to get asked again. He's going to be known as that kid whose mom was just a big Sally about it.
Let's be clear. The banker club and the biker club are probably two very different things.
Yeah, they're very, very different. Yeah. But if you get asked to be in either of them in fourth grade, it's crucial for your personal growth. All right. Personally, I was in the biker club. Uh-huh. Looking back on it upon reflection, I'm not sure I would switch it in for the banker club. Mm. But the biker club was fun.
Couples Court, Tana and Raven. So Claire's upset because he didn't talk to her about it. Says he purposely didn't do it because he knew that she would not be cool with it. Now, question we have this morning was he wrong to do that? Should he have checked in with his wife before giving permission for his son to go? Or was he right? He made a parenting decision on the spot. He didn't see anything wrong with it, and he knows his son is going to enjoy it. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on Dad's side. The only thing I think Dad should have done was ask a little more questions. I work in the medical field, and kids spend way too much time in front of electronics. I think you're given one shot at life, and you have to let our kids live life.
That's what I'm talking about. YOLO. YOLO.
You make fun of me for saying YOLO. Dirt,
but I know, but this is the best reference for it ever.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have a 20-year-old son that survived 20 years of this stuff, so.
Right. They'll make it. And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side because I think I would be the same way. At 9 years old, I'd be really concerned about the safety, but want to make sure he had a helmet and other stuff and talk to the other parent.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm going to agree with the husband. There are some things that are just a rite of passage for the father and the son. I'll qualify it, however, by saying he must go at least the first couple of times to evaluate the trail, the safety, the equipment, and the supervision.
Yeah, you can meet Dad is going to be like, move over. I'm borrowing this KX50 for a minute. Dad's going to be out there on a bike that's a third the size of him.
I think it would be great. I think that's good guess.
And Aunt Raven, whose side are you on?
The dad's side, for two reasons. Number one, the questions that she has are obvious. Of course we're going to keep the kids safe. It's not like we're going to let them go with chainsaws and flamethrowers, release wolves into the arena. And number two, if she had said no, would she have checked with the dad first?
Right, right. She would have just rejected it, shut it down, and then it probably never even told the dad.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, that's a big assumption.
Oh, don't you be sexist, okay. Anna Zapp.
All right.
It goes both ways. Thank you, sir.
I probably would have done that.
Now, on the other hand, the chainsaws, the wolves being leashed, you being on the motorcycle at the same time, sounds like the greatest Spartan race ever.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tony, our audience agreed with you. Claire, he made a parenting decision. Parenting is 50-50. You're going to have to respect that. Asking questions and making sure your son is safe, of course you get to do that, but you can't just tell Tony that he can't make decisions without you every once in a while.
Yay! I love your audience.
Can I call the dad or the mom and just ask them a bunch of stuff?
Yeah,
sure.
Totally.
Ask them if you're going to teach them how to do a wheelie.
Hmm.
Right? Ask him if the bike actually has working brakes. That's good. Always fun when you get on the dirt bike and it has the brake lever, but the brakes don't actually work.
Seems like a valid question.
That's like every bike me and my friends owned.
Okay, I'm not sleeping between now and then. Thank you.
You haven't lived until you're 85 pounds on a KX125 with no brake cable. It's the best ever.
You're helping. You're helping, Raven. All right, Tony, you win today. If anybody else has an issue, send an email to couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
Sometimes I see an equation written on a blackboard, like half an equation. I'll just figure it out.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
Hey, get out of here.
Oh, my God, Danny DeVito, I love your
Answer work. Questions with obscure movie quotes.
You work on commission, right? Yes. Big mistake. Huge.
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven.
Jeff, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room, please?
Sure. Good luck, man.
Okay. I'm waiting for that door to close. Hold on. Jeff, how do you feel about acronyms?
I don't have a feeling about them.
All right. Well, let's see how you do today. Here's how it works. He's out in the hallway. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I invite him back in. I ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. It's a tie. It goes to Raven. But if you can beat him, we give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts, okay?
You got it.
Number 1, Mel Brooks is bringing back the musical stage version of Young Frankenstein to ABC. What does ABC stand for?
American Broadcasting Company.
Number 2, you can now buy a CVS scarf since it's been a long time running joke that the CVS receipts are so long, they actually made a scarf out of it. What does CVS stand for?
Right. Consumer Value Store.
Number 3, Justin Bieber revealed that he's battling Lyme disease and has chronic mono. What is mono short for?
Mononucleosis.
Number 4, you can still rent DVDs via Netflix DVD. And just released this month on Netflix DVD, you have the new animated Addams Family, Line of Duty, and Veep Season 7. What does DVD stand for?
Digital Video Disc.
And number 5, Lori Loughlin requested a FBI report that she says may prove her payments in the college scandal are legitimate. What does FBI stand for?
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
All right. Nice job, Jeff. Let's bring Raven back in. Let me wave him in. Raven!
Yeah. All right. How do you do?
Jeff got all 5.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive, yeah. I have to say. Pretty impressive.
You seem a little bit nervous. Here's today's thing. All acronyms are the answers, for the most part.
Okay.
One of them isn't abbreviated, but close enough.
Okay.
Number 1. Mel Brooks is bringing the musical stage version of Young Frankenstein to ABC. What does ABC stand for?
American Broadcasting Company.
That's right. Number 2, you can now buy a CVS scarf since it's been such a long time running joke that the CVS receipts are so long.
So long.
What does CVS stand for?
Consumer Value Store. I'm looking at it right now here on my beautiful scarf.
Yeah.
You see, it's lovely.
I didn't think you would know that. All right, number 3. Justin Bieber revealed that he's battling Lyme disease and has chronic mono. What is mono short for?
Mononucleosis.
How do you guys both know that?
I mean, I never had it.
I gotta Google it.
Asking for a friend. It's the kissing disease, right?
Yeah.
It's the kissing sickness.
But I think this is different because it has to go with Lyme. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It ain't fun.
No.
I can guess that. It ain't fun. Enlarged spleen. I know that.
Okay. Number 4. You can still rent DVDs via Netflix DVD. Just released this month on Netflix DVD, the new animated Addams Family, Line of Duty, and Veep Season 7. What does DVD stand for?
Oh, DVD, not DVR, right?
DVD.
Digital?
Yep.
Video?
Yep.
Disc?
Yes. And it's been updated to digital versatile disc,
too.
Oh,
no, no, no. That's not fair.
I would have accepted either.
Who would ever talk that way? Come on.
All right.
Versatile disc. What is that?
You guys are doing better at this than I thought you
would. That makes no sense.
You need this last one to tie him, okay, Raven?
I'm very nervous.
Lori Loughlin requested an FBI report that says it may prove that her payments to the college scandal were legitimate. What does FBI stand for?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, my gosh, Jeff, you did so great. You have to call back and challenge him again. You guys tied at 5.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff. Pretty good.
Come on.
I know.
I'm sorry.
All right. Hold on the line, Jeff.
I mean, it's just Jeff's bad luck that I know firsthand what it's like when the FBI is hanging around.
I mean, how did you know mononucleosis?
I never had it, but I mean, in school, people would get sick from time to time, and you'd be like, what is that?
I am fully aware that this is something that has been discussed 100 billion times.
Okay.
But Raven, I have to show you a picture, and you tell me if this is normal. In the last 4 days, 17 pairs of socks have been misplaced at my house.
Wait a minute.
We keep putting the rogue socks on our bedroom dresser in hopes that their partner will somehow appear. Look at this picture.
It's crazy.
What is happening? So, on average, Americans lose 1.3 pair of socks a month due to the rogue sock in the washing machine. Where do they go?
I see.
And why do
Did
I
you
have
count these?
17
you said
pairs?
It's
17.
It's actually 17.
There's 17 of them.
Right.
What are my children doing with their socks? And I can't even just blame
them.
Are
these all kids' socks? These look like adult socks.
No, my socks and my husband's socks, right, too. It's Anna and Raven, by the way.
You know what I'm going to suggest is, first off, clearly there's a problem.
What's
happening?
There's
something going on. You probably have rats, all right? There's probably a tube somewhere behind your washer or dryer. And I know it's an older home. I know you know, it's nice and you've done all the work and so forth. But, I mean, here's the thing. If a house has been standing for 150 years, there's rats in there. All right?
Wait,
they live in there.
Wait, would the rats go inside my washer and dryer and
the
take
rats
them
have
out?
Tunnels. All right?
Into my washing machine?
If they've been there for generation after generation, they have a whole transportation system going on inside your walls.
Heritage rats.
You won't
That's
even know.
Bizarre.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But let me give you just a suggestion to fix this, because this is not something you can come back from. Like,
what
you know,
do
like
you do?
If you had 4 or 5 pairs out of whack, then this could be like a thing. You could go to sock rehab. You could work this out.
Good.
And then you would be back to a normal life at some point in your life. This is out of control. There's 17 different pairs here.
In 4 days.
And none of them even look close to each other.
No.
So you can't blend them.
I know.
Here's what you need to do.
What?
Get rid of your penchants for variety in socks. You can no longer give in to your need for a variety of socks.
Well, what am I going to do with the baby socks?
No, that's it.
She doesn't get socks?
One type of sock for that's it from now until the end of her life. Or at least until she's able to choose for herself and she's out living on her own. That's it. You need to streamline this. You have 2 kids, you and your husband, all right? Your husband needs 2 types of socks, white socks, black socks.
That's it.
That's what he needs, all right?
I read this,
socks and at-home socks.
I read this article that the way to ensure that you don't lose your socks is to pin them together with safety pins or binder clips.
That sounds like every time you go to get the dryer open, you're going to stab yourself 5 times. What are you going to do with the whites?
What do you do? Who has the time?
The socks are white. There'll be blood everywhere.
It's so strange, right? I don't know. If you have a trick for keeping your socks together, I'm going to post this picture on our Facebook page. Search Anna and Raven.
Don't just say ball them over each other, because then one is still nasty.
They don't both get clean. Never dry.
Yeah.
They never dry right.
Then you got funky socks.
Yeah, when you fold them together. I know.
Yeah. No,
1-800-330-9999. What do you do to keep your socks together? You can give us a call now, or you can head to our Facebook page. Just search Anna and Raven.
I'm telling you, you need one color sock. Buy it in bulk.
Come
get
on.
A pallet load today, this problem will be solved.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
It's out of control.
I'm 100% aware that this is a situation that everyone has been at some time in their life, and it's been discussed at great length, but it is driving me crazy. Because in the last 4 days, I have 17 rogue pair of single socks that somehow my washing machine has eaten.
Are they on top of a dresser?
Yes.
So on top of it, you've lost a piece of furniture here.
Yes.
Because it's covered by all these different pairs of socks.
Right.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and again say you just have too high of a variety of socks. There's a lot of different patterns going on up there. If you had one color socks for everybody in the house, problem solved.
I don't think that's the answer.
Problem solved.
I'm Anna. That's Raven. So we're trying to figure out what is the best way to keep your socks together, because this is ridiculous. I feel like I'm constantly buying socks in my family.
Mm.
The average American loses 15 pairs of socks a year, which it's, what's today, January
8th.
9th.
Yes.
It's January 9th, and I'm already up to 17 pairs. Seems like I'm ahead of it.
You got to carry over, though. I mean, it's like, you know, like you got to get rid of your vacation days before the end of the year because they don't carry over. Like, you should have gotten rid of these Rogue socks before the 1st.
No,
just gotten rid of them.
This has just happened.
Well, I tell you what would have happened is the second you got rid of them, you would have found the other ones.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. How do you keep your socks?
Okay, good morning. I have two of them. One, you have to do the clothes, like do a layer of clothes, put socks in between, and then clothes on top. This way, the small socks aren't getting to the outer layers of the washing machine. If that doesn't work, then you can get like the lingerie, you know, the little bags with the lingerie in. Put the socks in there, then they don't get lost.
Like the dry cleaning bag type thing, right? You put the sensitive garments in there or whatever. I don't know about the layering thing. I mean, I've never seen the washer.
I've never heard of that.
Be made into a trifle or the dryer.
I haven't lost any since I've done it.
I mean, that sounds really smart. And the lingerie bag, since I wash my bras never, I might as well take out of retirement. How often do you wash your bras, by the way?
I don't want to answer that question.
Right. No, it's okay, because I don't do it either. It's actually disgusting when I think
about
it.
You're terrible.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
Anna and Raven, what do you do with the socks?
Hi, I safety pin them and wash them.
You do safety pin them. How long does it take you to do that?
a little bit. Take a little while.
Is the safety pin rust-proof? Do they never come apart? Because I feel like every safety pin I put on anything ever, like, it's always coming apart and stabbing me. That's how I feel.
No, they're pretty good. I used the really big pins.
Yeah, just sounds like a really big stab. Sounds like a really big, it sounds almost being like knifed. I don't want to be shanked.
It's like those crochet, like, needles.
Oh,
that size safety pin.
It's like stabbing myself. Oh, it's terrible. Thank you for the call. It's terrifying.
Anna and Raven, what do you do about your socks?
So, you know those lingerie bags or, like, those netted, larger, like, drawstring laundry bags or things I use for swimwear, I wash them in those and I just throw that whole thing in the dryer. That way they all stay together.
It's really smart. I never wash my bras, so I never even use that bag.
Oh, stop it.
I don't.
It's terrible.
I mean,
I don't want to know. Certain things we just don't want to know.
I mean, at this point, I think we know everything, right?
Oh, okay. I mean, so what do we do with all this lingerie that needs to be washed, though? Now the bag is beat up from the socks. Now what about the poor lingerie?
Right.
Does it really get dirty? It doesn't stay on very long, so.
That's it. This is a family program. Right. Goodbye, ma'am. And Raven, what is your secret to keep these socks together?
I use one of those lingerie bags.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple calls like that already. The problem is what do you do with the lingerie that's supposed to go in that?
Never wear it.
Ever. No,
typical wife stuff.
Don't wear lingerie.
Right. You know, what every other wife is doing. Right.
That's what my husband would be like. He's like, it's been in a box under the bed for 13 years. What's the difference?